The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. If you're visiting us, we're so thankful that you're here with us. We're in a series, church family, called Meeting with God that we've been in several weeks because our desire is to truly meet with Him. We want to be with Him, and we have been looking at people that's met with God. We've also been looking over the past 5 weeks at practically what it looks like to meet with Him. We want to look at the scriptures of what God teaches us of how to meet with God. I've been encouraged just over the past few weeks that some of you have shared with me the way by which God has challenged you and the practical ways that you have been trying to meet with God. Some of you who are trying to adjust some of your schedules. Some of you who are making an actual practical spot, actually, in your home where you're actually carved out literally a place that you're meeting with Him. And I do pray that you will do so. If you want to meet with God, I'm telling you, He wants to meet with you. He wants to meet with us, and He wants to change us. He wants to teach us. He wants to change our lives for His good and for His glory. I pray that you have not just given your life to Christ, that you're just existing, because that's not the way God wants for you. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to grow to know Him more. Last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the discipline of prayer. We are looking at the practical ways, and we talked about being in the Word. It's one thing just to sit still and be before God and want to take His Word and study it, and we've talked about the practical ways that you do that, not just randomly finding a spot, but you're working through Scripture, you're sitting before God, and you're saying, God, I want You to speak to me. The past couple weeks, we've been talking about prayer and that how that we've understood that God's Word is what's His way to speak to us. Prayer is our way to speak to Him. Last week, we specifically looked at the element that is coupled with prayer. There's a discipline that often, I think, that is not practiced enough within Christian living, and that is the discipline of fasting. And to be able to have that as a means by which we are desperately seeking something from God. It is easy for us to maybe give up food or a particular element for some kind of medical reason, but the question that I asked last week is, how desperate are we in whatever situation that we have that we really want God to move into work? Fasting by its discipline is not a magic potion that we can just tag on to our prayer life just to guarantee that God is going to give us what we're asking. But what we saw in Scripture last week, and we're going to see today, and we're going to see next week as well, is that fasting is a tool that God has used throughout Scripture and even in history where believers and the people of God have desperately pursued God and God has shown up to work. Last week, we looked at a story in the Bible, Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, where their situation was desperate and they didn't know what to do, and the nation sought the Lord through prayer and fasting because they needed God to work and needed God to show up. And then God showed up after they had fasted and prayed and were still before God. Then God gave the answer and delivered them miraculously. It was the work of God. I want to ask you the question as we begin this morning. Can you point to a point in your life where you've said God has shown up and worked miraculously for you? The question I'm asking is to make you think and to ask yourself this question: what's changed about God? God has not changed since His existence. God has shown up and worked miraculously in Scriptures, and I want to see God work in our lives in the exact same way. We've seen God be able to do things in our lives as a church, as we've seen Him perform miracles, as we've prayed for people. We pray for direction. We pray for clarity. God has shown up and worked in miraculously ways. But I'm asking you, what is it in your own life that you need Him to do as you come into this place this morning? What is it you need God to do for you, for your family, for your health, for your emotions, for your finances, for direction, for situations, for clarity, for deliverance, for healing? What is it that God needs to do in you? And maybe you're saying, well, I'm praying and I'm asking Him. But I'm asking you the question is, how hungry are you for God to actually give it to you? That's what fasting does for us. Fasting is a discipline that maybe you've not even practiced before. And I want to challenge you that as we talk about this today, that you would even consider in that disciplined work of your own lives to say, I'm going to seek God, I'm going to fast from a meal. Let me give you a definition again, as this week, as we did last week, so that you can be able to see and understand basically what fasting is. Fasting is primarily restraining oneself from food for the purpose to confess sin and to seek and hear from God in prayer. We all like to eat. Yes or no? You probably even now are thinking, because I'm talking about food, are now thinking about food. But fasting is one of those disciplines. It's basically an essence in prayer lives as a pursuit of God that you're saying, God, this is how much I love you. I want you. And we looked at Matthew chapter 6 in this context where Jesus is actually teaching his apostles in regards of a way by which that we pursue this. And one thing that we saw last week is this is not just some kind of discipline that is restricted or left for the spiritually elite. I mean, when Jesus talks about this, he even begins the phrase that says, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. It was normative for them. The question is, where's that discipline lost for us? You know, as a church, there's been times in the past where we've set aside times to pray and fast for certain elements, and we've seen God do some of those things. We've fasted and prayed for people who've had cancer, and we've seen God heal. We've seen God deliver. We fasted and prayed for direction in regards for our church. Remember, one of those things that we fasted and prayed for, even when we're in our old location, is that we needed a miracle from God. We needed to be able to sell our building, but we needed a buyer to be able to buy our building that would be gracious to let us stay there so that we could be able to start building the process. And God brought that very buyer to us. We were able to have a buyer who bought it and agreed to just wait for a very long time. We were able to get almost all of this constructed, and we just had the last few months that we rented from the college. And even at that, that was one of those answers to prayer and fasting. We were literally like, okay, we got to be out this week and we need a place to go. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Let's fast and pray and let's see what God wants. And the very next day, God gave us an answer. It works. I want to encourage you, even as kids and adults, if you're just at a point in your life, you're saying, I don't even know if God is real or not. I'm telling you the evidence of what I have seen in Scripture and in my own life. I want to tell you it absolutely works. Prayer and fasting is one of those things that we may not have done, but I pray that it becomes so normative in your life that it's just like breathing is for you to be able to wake up and be able to move and be. So let's see what God says to us today. Today we're going to look at this text. We kind of introduced this passage, Matthew 6 verse 16 last week, but I want to unpack this verse a little bit more and actually then give instruction of what this looks like. What does Jesus mean by this? And then I actually want to give us a biblical illustration, a biblical example of this very thing that Jesus teaches on. Remember, the context is Matthew 5 through chapter 7, as Jesus is teaching in a very intimate way with his apostles. He's has called them to follow him. He's kind of pulled them up to a mountain and he said, look, let's talk about what it really means to follow me and what it looks like and to be truly righteous. And so he's teaching them. This is kind of the picture that you get. They're on the side of the mountain. Jesus is teaching them. And one of the things he's talking to them about is to make certain that in living for him, it's not to be done just for man. It's to be done for God alone. And then fasting is one of those things. Let's look at verse 16. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Now, notice this last part of this verse. We're going to get to this, but I want you just to kind of give a hook to you to understand that there is something that is a promise here. And your Father who sees in secret will what? Say it with me. Reward you. There's a promise involved here. A promise that God is saying that when we're fasting and that we're praying, that Jesus is saying God is going to reward us. Now, we're going to clarify what that reward is in just a moment, because I don't immediately know what your mind is thinking. I know how we all think, though, at times, the way that we're thinking about reward. But I want you to see that there is a reward that's there. So practically, if you're sitting there, you're saying, okay, Pastor, I want to include this discipline in my life. Just think practically. We're talking about how to meet with God. We've talked about the Word of God is what we need. We want to sit before the Word. We want God to speak to us in this way. We're taking time to pray together. We've seen that in Matthew 6, verse 5, where Jesus says to make certain that we find a closet, a place, a room, time set aside that I use the phrase, carve out time in our lives so that we can make time that we're meeting with Him, that we're praying to Him, that we're working through things, that we're seeing God work. And we saw a couple weeks ago where Jesus is saying, just make sure we're not just working up and just throwing up empty phrases, but we're genuinely, passionately, sincerely pouring out to the Lord. So if you're sitting here and saying, I don't know how to pray, well, let me ask this question. Do you know how to talk? Then the answer is you know how to pray. You talk to Him because Jesus says the first thing we're learning how to pray says, our Father. He's your Father. He knows. Isn't it amazing that children sometimes can only be understood by their parents? You know, when kids are little and they're talking, you know, when their little tykes are walking around and a parent is in the room with those little tykes and there's a visitor that's over there and little kids are just saying, jib, 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 and you're like, what are you saying? And the parent can interpret, oh, he said, blah, 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 blah. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm just making sure that my kids don't speak Russian and yours speaks English, you know. But it's amazing because you're around that child, you know how they speak. And the same thing is this. I just want to encourage you. If you just know how to communicate with people, God is the same way. Just talk to Him. He's your Father. He understands. And so just pour out your heart to Him. And so one of those things that we couple with that is fasting. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be every day or every week, but there are times by which that you should choose to do those. So practically, Jesus is telling us, if you're going to do this and you're coupling that with time of prayer, how does that look like? Well, number one, I want to teach you practically what Jesus says here is that He gives a warning and an instruction, and the warning is simply this: do not fast with the intent so that everybody else knows that you're fasting. Look at what Jesus says here again in the scripture. Don't look gloomy like the hypocrites. Let me define for you one more time who the hypocrites are. The hypocrites were the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the scribes. And they did all of their religious practices so that everybody saw them. They wanted everybody to know that they were doing these particular things. How does Jesus describe them? He says, don't look gloomy like they are doing, disfiguring their faces. Their fasting may be seen by others. Literally, this is what it would look like. These scribes and those Pharisees of that day, some of them would be intentional to walk out in the day. They wouldn't necessarily fix their hair. They may not even shave that particular day. And if you notice what Jesus says in the very next verse, He talks about anointing yourself and washing yourselves. These particular people sometimes would intentionally look dirty. They would put ashes upon themselves and they'd walk out in the streets like they're unkempt, because in their day that meant like, oh, these guys are fasting. So they're walking along the street, ashes on their heads, looking gloomy and sad, all for the purpose that someone would notice them and say something to them. Man, you look bad today. I'm fasting. Oh. So they keep walking down the street so that someone else sees them. Maybe they see the person as they're walking by them, talking to them. You know, like you know how you do sometimes. You see certain people and you're whispering to your family, did you see such and such? You've done that, right? So this is what they're doing. They're doing it in such a way because this is what they want. They want people to recognize what they're doing. They're literally disfiguring themselves. They're looking gloomy and so sad. You know, what does that look like in us in our day? You know, if you're fasting for the wrong reason, you know, so if you walk in, someone asks you at work, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm so hungry today. Why? Oh, I'm just fasting. You don't have to walk in your work and put ashes on your head like they did just so that everybody sees you. You get the picture. But we can do certain things if this was our intent. You know, even walk in, if you walk into work and you're just miserable around everybody else, you're just gloomy and doom and sad. And people say, man, what's wrong with you today? Man, I'm just fasting. Well, who wants to fast if that's the way it's like? Man, you mean pursuing God's going to be terrible and gloomy? Well, I don't want that. But everybody else is recognizing. And what is, you see, the point here is like, if you think about it in this particular way, think about who's primary in their lives. If we do certain behaviors so that we want everybody else to know that we're doing it, guess who's the primary purpose in our lives? Man, not God. God becomes secondary, man becomes primary. And I want you to think about that order. What can man do that God can do? Man can't do anything that God can do. So understand this. What happens though? Because Jesus is saying, don't fast so that everybody else can see you. But what happens though, if you are genuinely having a purpose to fast, let's say, for example, you're not trying to look gloomy. You're trying to be able to go through your normal day life. And someone finds out that you're fasting. Is your fast now unbiblical? Is it ruined? Is it wasted? Say, for example, that you have had a time to fast. And this has happened in my life where I've fasted for some reason, for a particular day or a meal. And inevitably, someone will call me up or text me, hey, can you go to lunch today? Then it's like, oh man, what do I say in this particular moment? I was always torn with that early on because I'm thinking, I don't want to be like a Pharisee here and be hypocritical and everybody get my attention. So I didn't text back and say, oh, I'm trying to just fast today. Please forgive me. I'll reschedule a different time. No, I was torn early on. I was like, how do I do this? Because I don't want them to see that what I'm doing. Just practically, I just say, I got another commitment. Can't do it today. Practical ways. But I want to give you a statement that I came across this week that just made sense to be able to help us to understand. And here's the way it is worded. If you are being seen fasting is different than fasting to be seen. You got it? So if you're being seen that you're fasting as opposed to fasting to be seen, that's completely different. Your heart can be right. Your motive can be right. And understand that if someone just happens to see it or happens to learn, that doesn't mean that your fast is blown and so therefore you go out and buy a Whopper meal because your fast is no longer any good. And the point is that your heart is right and it's knowing that. But let me ask you this question though. Because if you look at this passage of Scripture, it's Jesus is teaching that we don't fast so that we can be seen by others. Well, how does that work, though, if you're trying to do some kind of group fast or a corporate fast, if they know that that's what you're fasting? We've done that even as a church where we've had times we've set aside to be able to say, hey, we're going to fast and pray for these particular things. As a staff, there's been times where we've said, we're going to fast and pray for these things. These people know, these individuals know that you're fasting. But the point is that you're doing it together. You're not doing it just so they can see you. Same thing in the same story last week, 2 Chronicles 20. The entire nation was fasting and praying. So they all knew that each other was fasting. They all knew that they were all doing this, but their hearts were right to be doing it before God, not so that everybody else could be able to be seen. Now, could some of those people have the wrong motives? Sure they could, because they could go into that group, say it's a corporate fast, and someone could say, man, I'm fasting more than they are. I'm fasting 2 meals. That person's only fasting one. Then you know the heart is wrong that's there. So Jesus is telling us if we're pursuing this, and we're going to get to the fact of the reward, but here's all I want you to understand from the very beginning. You can do this discipline and it not be acceptable to God. All spiritual disciplines for that matter. Reading your Bible, praying, fasting, whatever it may be, worship. We can do all those things just so that somebody sees us. And God is not appeased by that. So what does Jesus say? What is the instruction then if this is something that we're going to do? To be able to pursue God, seek God, to get an answer from God. Well, he tells us the practical thing is this. In verse 17, if you're going to fast, just fast and look normal. Look at verse 17 again. Jesus says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. This is all what was normative for them. They literally would anoint their head and wash their face quite frequently for every meal. It was a Jewish kind of practice in what they did. Now, in that particular day, for them, it was in a very hot climate, so they would anoint their head. It was actually medicinal. It was for the purpose of protection, for them to be protected by the sun. So we don't have to take this literally in this particular day. Actually, if you take this in this particular day and you apply it to us, then you're actually like the first verse. Let's say, for example, you anoint your head and you walk into church and you got this big shiny forehead coming on. Everybody's going to say, what happened to you? You get the picture here. This was cultural for their day. That was what was normative for them. It would be not normative for us to lather up in a bunch of oil that you're just covered up and you say, I'm just fasting. I'm just doing what Jesus said. That's not his point. His point for them is that was what was normative for them, to anoint their head and to wash their face. Jesus is saying, look, don't be like this guy that's walking down the street so everybody else just looks at you. He's saying, look, make certain you just do what's normative for you. Get up and have your coffee, whatever it may be. If you're fasting, you're not having that. You're getting ready. You're going to work. You're not walking in. When someone says, how your day, you're not talking about how tired you are, or gloomy you are, how hungry you are. You're simply saying, I'm doing great. How are you? Because if you're fasting and seeking God, you should be doing great. If you're meeting with Him, you should be doing good. Point being here is that Jesus is saying we should not be drawing attention to ourselves just so that we could be able just to get the praise of men. So what's the result when we do this? There's two actually in this passage of Scripture. What can I expect? And I want you to ask yourself this question. So if you're saying, okay, Pastor, I'm going to try this discipline and coupled with my time of praying, I'm going to fast from a meal or for a day or for a couple of days. So what can I expect? Number one, according to this scripture, is that number one, God sees you. Look at the text again here in verse 17 and 18. When you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. What does that mean? Does God not see also everything else that goes on in this world? Yes. God sees everything in this world, whether it is righteous, whether it's good, or whether it's wicked, or whether it's evil. God sees all things. There's not one thing He's not aware of. There's not one thing that He's not unknown of. So what does it mean then here if Jesus is saying, wait a minute, He sees you if you're doing this? I want you to see this illustrated in a Bible story in the Old Testament for you to understand exactly what this means. In essence, this is what this means, and we're going to see it in the story. God sees the sincerity of the heart for those who are genuinely pursuing Him. He knows whether or not our intent in our pursuit of prayer and fasting is either for God or for man. Let me show you how this is illustrated in an Old Testament. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. We'll come back here to Matthew chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The context here is that Saul, who was the king, for the first king of the nation of Judah, has turned from God and he has rejected God, and it's time for a new king to be chosen. Samuel, who was the prophet of God, was chosen for this particular task. And so he's basically led to the family that's the father. Jesse is the father. And so he has to pick. Samuel's supposed to anoint the new king. And I want you to see clearly how that this is articulated and explained for what it means when God sees. Verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Now understand, Samuel's not told who it is. He's just saying that there is a son among, a king among the sons of Jesse. Verse 2. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. Notice that phrase, whom I declare to you. Verse 4. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? Now, why would they be trembling? Because they knew if a prophet showed up, there usually was some kind of doom and gloom message that was about to be given. So they're wondering, what in the world is he there for? Verse 5. And Samuel said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he, meaning Samuel, looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, and here's our key text, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on what? The heart. Now you take that truth And you go back to Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus is teaching upon fasting and praying, and you look at that verse again, you understand what Jesus is saying. The Lord sees everything, but here when Jesus is saying, what's the reward if I'm praying and I'm fasting? Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret, Jesus knows whether or not your heart is right in your intent and your pursuit. Listen, you can check off all the boxes. You can fast and you can pray. You can abstain from a meal and you can have a time set aside. But if your heart is just to try to be religious, your heart's not right. But if your heart is there to call out to God for direction or call out to God for repentance or seeking God for clarity, whatever it may be, God knows. And if it's genuine, He knows that and He sees it and acknowledges. You know what that means? That also means that God understands and He hears the pleas and the cries of everybody else who's calling out petitions before the Lord, but He pays attention to those whose hearts are right. That puts a great application here. You may say, Pastor, I'm praying hard, I'm seeking hard, I'm even doing these things, but it begs the question, are we in the right spot with God? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? This is an absolute important to understand. If you say, well, I'm not really following God, and God hears me and God answers my prayer. Listen, there are times where I've talked to many people who may have never really confessed Christ as their Lord and King, and they say, well, I pray and God answers, and I want to say this to you. God's not obligated to answer those. He's doing it because of His good grace for you. But here, what we're seeing here clearly, if we want God to hear us, and we're saying He's not hearing us and something's not happening, the first check of our heart is to be able to ask, am I in the right spot? Am I in the right spot? You could be praying for somebody else or praying for yourself, and you just need to check and say, Lord, am I right with You? Now, I don't want you to get the impression that just because you're right with Him and you're praying that there's going to be an automatic, instantaneous answer from God either. Probably all of us in this room who are following Christ have had moments where we have prayed for something and waited for a very long time for God to answer it. One of my favorite examples of this, I've shared this with some of you, is that there was a lady in our church who prayed 18 years fasting and praying for her husband to be saved. 18 years. Did God not see her sincerity of her heart in all those years? Sure He did. But it was her pleading and her longing and her waiting and her patience that God finally began to work in that man's heart. There are so many different elements that go involved in all that. And the point of all that is to say you can be right. So don't think there's this magic potion that you're going to say, I prayed, I fasted, and next week the answer is going to come. Sometimes God works that way. Sometimes it may be after your lifetime before God works. You see, but here's the thing. If we have the mindset that we're simply praying and laying it before God, we're not demanding God, we're simply seeking Him, and we know that if our heart's right, we know He's heard us. Is that not enough in and of itself? To know that whatever it is that you're calling out to Him, you can say, I know my heart's right. I know I'm walking with God right. God, I'm fasting and praying, and based upon Your word, I know that You see me. Do you know that there's not one tear that goes wasted and unnoticed by God if you're pouring out your heart before Him? There's not one sleepless night that does go unnoticed if all you can do is lay there and pray because your heart is burdened. There's not one day that when you may be struggling or burdened for a family member or you're stressing before a job decision, there's not one of those prayers that when your heart is poured out that God does not hear and know. So my encouragement to you, take heart. Take heart. Because some of you may have come in here this morning and you may have even wondered, is God even hearing me at all? And my encouragement to you is if your heart is right, God sees and hears you. Keep pouring it out and trusting that God is working. But what else will He do? Back at Matthew chapter 6, what else will we see God can do for us? If we are being sincere, we're not really after the praise of man. We could care less about the praise of man. You know how long the praise of man endures anyways? For that moment. For that one moment. Whereas when we're fasting and we're praying and we're seeking for the favor of God, the clarity of God, the work of God, the intercession of God, the miracle of God, that becomes long lasting because something that we're praying for may impact this person, that may impact that person. It becomes just like the ripple effect of the pond, that our prayers that we're praying for is not just for the moment of someone to clap us or praise us. It's for the purpose of the glory of God. If you think about the whole thing, ask yourself this question. What has preceded this teaching of prayer and fasting? It is the Lord's Prayer. And what is the very first thing that Jesus teaches us to pray? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Is my praying and my fasting for what I'm praying for, is it hallowing his name? Is it for the kingdom of God? Is it for the glory of God? Or is it for myself? Puts in perspective, does it not? Be able to help us to know that what we're praying for and fasting for. It doesn't mean that we don't fast and pray for something that we need, because we know that the Lord's Prayer says to pray for our daily bread. So there's practical things that we may need. But it puts in perspective to say, what's the motive? Well, what is the second thing that Jesus promises us to expect from fasting that God sees us? But secondly, according to the text right there in verse 18, it says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Rewards you. We like rewards, don't we? People always want something as an accomplishment, even in life. We like recognition. When I grew up playing sports, they didn't have such things as participation trophies. Now, you can be the worst team ever, and you get a trophy. You know, I've coached lots of seasons, and it gets here at the end of that season, the season's almost over, and they're saying, Coach, where's my trophy? Doesn't matter if we had the worst record possible. They want a reward. I grew up, you either won and you got it or you didn't get it. And you worked hard for that reward. And your head was hanging low when you walked off the field and you didn't get it. Anybody else felt like that? Here's what Jesus is saying. The reward may not necessarily be something that is recognized like a trophy, but the promise is you're going to be rewarded with something if it's sincere. What is that reward? Now, let's make certain here that we think in a materialistic, oftentimes because we live in a materialistic society. Oh, I'm praying sincerely, and that's been warped in our culture and American Christianity, especially when it comes to health, wealth, and prosperity. If we just pray hard enough, we fast long enough, and we do the right things, God is guaranteeing to reward us with finances. You know where the text right here in context can prove that that's not true? Look at the very next verse in verse 19, because Jesus and God knows the heart of man. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if I'm fasting and praying because I think God's going to give me riches, guess what? He's not seeing me. He's not hearing me because my heart's in the wrong spot. So what is the reward? Jesus doesn't just spell it out for us very clearly in the aspect of what that reward is, but the possibility here, the probability, is the fact that we're fasting and we're praying, and the reward is the fact that God may actually answer the thing that we're fasting and praying for. You're praying for clarity for a decision. You're fasting and praying. The reward may be that God actually gives you clarity. How many of you have actually fasted and prayed and pleaded over a person who's lost to be saved and seen that person come to know Christ? Is that not a good reward? Fasted and prayed because you didn't have one more penny to pay what you need to pay, and you're saying, God, I need a job, I need something, a provision, a way by which you provide for me, and you've seen God do that. Is that not a good reward? You fasted and you prayed for someone who's sick and you prayed for their healing, and we've seen God do that. Is that not a good reward? And the church should say, yes. But could it be that the rewards may be a little different than just answer prayers? Could the reward actually also be peace of mind? In my own life, This is one of the rewards for me, just speaking very transparently to you. Because there have been situations that I've fasted and prayed for that I didn't know what to do. There are people that have seen wayward in sinfulness. It's heartbreaking to fast and pray for their restoration, for healing for people. Fasting and praying for that doesn't guarantee that it's always going to be a healing. It may actually be that person's just going to have grace to endure. But you know, a reward for me is peace. Because I know I've laid that petition before the Lord, and I know He's heard me, and it's in His power to do what God wants to do. So I want you to broaden your understanding of what a reward may be. The reward may not be the instantaneous on the platter, here's the answer. But if we can increase our theology, our understanding of God, to be able to understand our amazing God sees the heart pour, the pouring out, the sincerity of the fasting and praying, and it is that we walk away and say, okay, God, I have peace. No, you're going to do something here, even if it's 10 years from now. It's resting in the Almighty God and taking it out of the control of my hands, because He has the power. I do not, but I hold to the one who has the power to do whatever it is my need is that I'm laying before Him. Let me give you another reward for me. Intimacy with God. Hear me very clearly. If you just carve out time as a believer and you spend time with Him with unhindered, uninterrupted time in the Word and time in prayer, you will meet with Him. He will meet with you. And when I take time to couple those things in fasting, there is a draw throughout the entire day for the period that I am fasting, and those hunger pains that draw me and remind me I'm seeking Him. There is an intimacy and a closer that God gives me with Him. I'm saying that's a great reward. Even if what I'm fasting and praying for doesn't get answered the way that I think it's going to be answered, the fact that I have been with Him has increased my relationship with Him. That, to me, is an amazing amount of reward. So you ask yourself the question. I just ask you very simply, how hungry are you for the Almighty to be present in your life? Do you want Him? Do you want Him to be in your life, to be involved in your life, and you to see Him show up in your life? I challenge you, set aside time to put aside the things of our own hunger for the sake of God. So we've seen clearly Jesus saying, let's make sure we're doing these things not to be seen by others, but only by Him, and understanding He sees us and He will reward us. So is there a place in Scripture we can actually see this? And there is. I want to show you a biblical illustration where this is played out so that you can see the benefit, the danger of the warning, and the reward for what God does. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58 with me. Isaiah 58. You know, it's easier to be hypocritical. It's easy to be successful when you're hypocritical to get what you want. It's harder to be patient and rest and wait for the work of God. For that praise of man, we can work easy to get. But the work of God, the miracles that He can perform, is a matter of patience and waiting and trusting in His hand. In Isaiah 58, we have a perfect picture of what Jesus has warned us against in Matthew chapter 6. Warned us against the picture of doing this religion outwardly, but our heart not being right. And then the prophet Isaiah here, as God is speaking through him, he says, though, that if we would do what's right, there are rewards that are promised for those who are doing what is true. Isaiah 58, verse 1. We're going to read the entire chapter, and I will comment as we go. This is the prophet speaking. God speaking to the prophet. Cry aloud, and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. And this is what he's to cry out. This is prophet Isaiah speaking to the people of God. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And then they ask this question. Why have we fasted and you, what's that word? See it not. Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Here's the picture. People of Israel of that day are saying, look, we're doing all the righteous things. We're fasting and you're not seeing it. What's the problem here? And then the answer is given. Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Do you hear what Isaiah is saying, that God is saying through him? You can fast, you can pray, and you can do it every day, and you can do it 40 days. But God is saying, if you're doing this religious ritual, but you have this other side of your life where you're just not carrying out righteous behavior, then God is not going to be appeased by the righteous act of fasting. It's the same thing that Jesus was warning in Matthew chapter 6. So what does the scripture continue to say? Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Do you hear the contrast that's here? The contrast is, here are people who are more concerned for others than they were for themselves. And before, they were fasting, but yet they were being wicked, and they were being vile, and they weren't carrying out life. And Jesus, or God, is saying here, look, this is what is sincere, that when you're more concerned about other people, then what's the promise? If you do those things, notice verse 8 and notice the first word. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. That, church family, is the type of fasting that I'm teaching us on. If we want to see what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 6, to have the reward that God is hearing and God is going to work, then we have to be sincere. If we just do the righteous act to simply check off the box of doing a righteous act, then all we have done is perform a righteous act. But God is saying to us, if we will be sincere, if we will be genuine, then he will pay attention. We will call out to him and he'll say, here I am. What promises does he give? What rewards does he give? Go back to verse 6. What is he saying? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Is that not an amazing reward, that for those who have been trapped and bound by sinfulness? Listen, you can fast and you can pray for someone who may be trapped for those things, that God can deliver them out of that particular trap. Is that not a beautiful thing? It tells us. I love the picture of verse 8. For fasting, we're praying sincerely. Notice what he says. Then you shall be like the light breaking forth from the dawn. Many of you know I'm a morning person. I love to see that sun peek its head out at the very beginning, to see the light begin to pierce the darkness. I want you to take that image with me and give a spiritual image. There is darkness, spiritual darkness, that covers our land. Spiritual darkness that may cover family, friends, co-workers. But Isaiah is saying, the reward of those who are genuinely fasting and praying, he's going to say, then you can be like the light that pierces the darkness. Do we want God to use us, you as an individual person, to be able to be that light that pierces the darkness and God begins to shine forth? Because you know what happens when the sun peeks out? It doesn't just crack the dawn of that morning. Do you know what happens to the sun? It continues to rise and come forth and begins to shine, and light begins to cover over the darkness, and darkness is pushed back. Oh, my friends, this is what God can do through us as a church when we fast and we pray and we seek the hand of God. How many want to see more lost souls saved? How many want to see addiction broken? How many want to see marriages restored? We want to see God work. And God is saying, here's an example in Isaiah 58, when we're pouring out our hearts before God, we're sincere in our praying, then God is saying, cry out to me, here I am. Could it possibly be that God is wanting to work, but he's waiting on us to get serious with him? Yes. May we hear this. I want us, you've heard me say this for years, I never want Redemption Church, your life, my life, just to exist, just to say that we're existing, that we're just Christian, we're just going to church, just the routine thing, we come to church and we leave. No way! Man, we want to see God work miraculously. And has that also been good just over the past couple of months since we've been here? We've seen testimonies of people played before they're baptized and how God has changed their lives. It's a powerful story of the testimony of God. I said on the very first day when we baptized our very first person in this baptistry, I pray that it's the first of thousands of people whose lives get changed. Let's be serious. Let's seek him. God gives many promises even in the rest of this psalm, or this book that's right here. Look at verse 10. If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually. Satisfy your desire in scorched places. Make your bones strong and you shall be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. What a powerful truth that is. Would it not be awesome for people to say, man, I know if I go to Redemption Church, what has been broken, God can fix. He can be the restorer. The streets of my life have been destroyed, but I know if I go there, I can find hope and he's going to put it back together again. Is that not what our name is supposed to be about? God can redeem what is broken. God can fix what's unfixable by the world. The power of God. The power of God is able to do it all. I ask you this one simple question. What problem is impossible for God to fix? Not one thing. So may we pray, and may we fast believing that what seems impossible with man, impossible is your situation, that we would trust that God can do it. So Jesus teaches us to trust him. So I ask you this morning, what is it in your own life that you need God to work in? Has it just simply been a half-hearted prayer for you to ask God to work? Or has there been sincerity of time devoted to say, God, I fast today because the resources that I have pale in comparison to what you can do. And you fill in the blank for what your need is. But Jesus promises, if our hearts are right, God sees and God rewards. Some of you in this room have lost family members that you're broken for. I challenge you, take time to fast and pray for them. Some of you are in a spot in your life that you don't know what you're doing the next step. And you've been trying every resource possible. You've asked every person possible their opinion. What you need to do is stop. And you need to fast and pray and wait to hear from God. Some of you in this room may outwardly look that everything is okay in this particular room. And everybody else may think everything is fine about you. But deep down inside of you, you are a mess and you're broken and you're hurting. You need to stop. You need to fast and pour out your hurt to God and let God, who is the restorer of streets, restore your soul again and bring you back in the spot where you need to be. As a church, we are in a great place in what God is doing and changing lives. But I want to give you a few things that I think that we need to fast and pray over even as a church. Number one is our future. To fast and pray for vision and clarity for us as a church. Certainly say, well, we're just being the church. Yes, we are being the church. But we want to make certain that we follow clearly the path that God lays out for us. Leadership teams, from children's leadership teams and youth leadership teams, have met over the past couple of weeks seeking and praying. And I've challenged them to actually spend time fasting and praying, even for our Wednesday ministries, that we will lead and organize things that are going to do great so that we can see children's lives and youth lives change for the glory of Christ. So I'm asking you to pray and fast with us that God would do those things. Secondly, for our future, for leadership, for elders and deacons, so this church continues to be healthy and thriving and doing well. Thirdly, will we fast and pray for the salvation of souls? So here's what I'm calling us to do. Whatever your personal needs are, I challenge you to spend time doing that. But this week, I'm calling us as a church to pray and fast that God would do these things. That God would give clarity to our leaders as they plan and as they pray for our Wednesday ministries. God will give us leadership for the future. And God will give us those lost souls. And I'm going to give you a fourth one. There are people in our church who are struggling with issues in their lives that they need the power of God to help them to overcome. I don't have to lay all those out for you. But if we call out to God and say, God, there are people who need rescuing, let's pray that God will do it. And next week when we gather in this place, you can fast tomorrow, this afternoon, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. But on next Sunday morning, we get together and we pray together. I'm going to teach one more time on fasting. There's going to be a time in our service. We're going to take time. We're going to pray together that we're seeking the face of God. I'm going to give you one more. They just keep coming. I can give you more of them. I'll give you one more. Will you fast and pray with me that we will be hungry for God? Fasting and praying for leadership, for vision, for lost souls, for people to overcome struggles, and that we as a church will be hungry for Him. Jesus says, God will hear, and God can reward. What is that reward? For us, we would fast and we would pray and we would say, God, you're going to give us clarity what we're supposed to do. God, you're going to give us the leaders that we need to do. God, you're going to give victory for those who are struggling. God, you're going to give us a hunger for you. That's the reward. But some of you in this room have some very real issues. And you need to find some time to get along with Him and trust that He can answer. Would you pray with me? To every head be bowed and every eye closed, our musicians will come. I want to make this practical for you. You've heard this. And if you're in this room and that you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I know that this may not make any sense to you. Why would you want to fast and pray when you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And that's really the beginning point for you. And maybe even in this moment, in this room, and this morning, as God has spoken to your word, God has shown you, you just need Him. And that first step for you is to acknowledge Him as Savior and acknowledge that you are sinful and that you need Jesus to save your soul. If you've not done that, that's the beginning point for you to begin the journey of experiencing the real God who wants to save you. Some of you in this room, you've heard this and you've kind of blown it off and you said, well, that's just something that someone else can do. I'm not going to spend time praying and fasting. But would you be willing to be able to just say, God, it's going to be tough, but I know that if I meet with you, set this time aside, you can meet with me. Maybe there's some things in your life right now that's beginning just to run through your mind that God is revealing to you that you need to take time to seek Him for. Things that you've tried to handle on your own. Maybe things you've given up on that you have prayed for before, but God is calling you once again to pray for them. I'm going to pray for us. And then as we sing this song, there'll be people here at the front that can pray with you if you need prayer. You can make an altar out of your chair. There's nothing sacred about this particular spot. But this song says, Lord, I need you. We want to sing this song as a prayer and a cry out to Him. And as you sing that song in just a moment, I want you to think whatever it is of your needs that you have, whatever the issue is, let this song be your prayer to Him for these things. Lord, you're challenging us through this word this morning and last week and even next week to come, what it looks like for us as an individual and as a church to fast and to pray and to seek your face. Lord, the last thing we want to do is to do these spiritual disciplines just so that somebody else can know we're doing them, someone can see us doing them. Lord, we want to do these things because you've laid it out for us of how we can meet with you. And Lord, we see the truths and promises in Scripture that you'll reward us. We see it in Isaiah that we could become like that light that's breaking forth through that darkness. God, we want our lives to be impactful. We want our church to be impacting. So God, this moment right now, there are people here and those who are listening by stream whom through the Spirit of God you have spoken to their heart and spoken to their mind about issues or people or even their own lives, that you're calling them to take some time to fast and to pray and to seek your face over it. God, I thank you. I rest in the truth of your word that your Holy Spirit is our personal convictor. So God, I pray in this moment your Spirit is speaking to us. But God, this week, as we take some time in our own schedules to mark out some time to fast and to pray for our future, our vision, leadership, victory for those who may be struggling, and a hunger for you. God, we want to meet with you. Meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, let's sing. We'll be here to receive you if you need prayer. You come.